Good morning. First of all, I'm going to start by saying thank you. You are making an impact in Southeast Asia. And Sue and I are privileged and honored to be your ambassadors. We get to go and definitely receive more credit than we deserve, because we can't do this without you sending us. And I want you to know that your investment in prayer, in time, in finances, I hope that today you're going to see that it's a good investment. I'm going to kind of handle, like I did sending reports out, I'm going to kind of tell you what we did, and I'm going to warn you it is not in chronological order. Sue's going to jump in, and then we're going to get to the end. Sue's going to talk about some prayer needs, and I might even jump in there. So I'll try not to be close to where you can hit me, but... So, Philippines 2018. First of all, there's not much that can be accomplished without prayer. And I want you to know we appreciate the fact that you prayed us out the Sunday before we left. And we certainly appreciate that. It definitely was valuable. People have asked, where do you stay? Well, we stay in the house. And this is sort of our room. And actually, we were really blessed this trip. I'm going to step down every now and then so I can point out some things with the laser printer pointer here. This room, that used to be the wall. So you can see it was kind of small. Well, gee, they had built on a whole other section, got our own little refrigerator there, a little place to do some study, and probably the biggest blessing of all, you can't really see it, but right there is our own bathroom. We didn't have to share. You have to get around over there. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I guess I have to confess at times I was a little faint. Now the car, sometimes we're traveling by car. We spent a lot of time in vehicles. This is not really the normal load that you see here. I mean, there's room for everybody to actually sit down without sitting on somebody. One little foray, I think it was at the funeral for Mary that we'll talk about a little later. I was in the same, I think this is the van. I was in the same vehicle, and I was the 17th one in. And I was not the last one in. They do have some rules over there in regard to capacity of these vehicles. It's all you can squeeze in plus one. So sometimes you have to go by boat. And this is a typical ferry. The same kind of rules apply. I might mention that this was not fully loaded yet before we took off. And we even had occasion to go by air down to Davao. That was part of, I guess, the soaring on the wings. And sometimes it just was a matter of getting out and hoofing it, too. You got to go to where the people are. And we were privileged to do that. I'm going to kind of break into some categories. The pastor... We had a pastors and church leaders conference. We had several pastors fellowships. We had church visits. We had church, they call them Thanksgiving. And really what they are anniversaries. Almost every church has an anniversary celebration every year. And we managed to go to a few of those as well. One of our favorite places is home. The first several trips, we were the school, Asia Christian School of Ministry, was housed in Bias City. And so this is the Bias City Church. They hosted one of the fellowships. And I could point out several individuals that you may have heard us mention by name before. and have asked prayer for before, and so they'd be familiar names, but there's a, it's kind of like going to a family reunion and a time to, usually a church service, usually one of us gets to speak at that. Sometimes we know about it ahead of time, and sometimes as they're introducing us, Bobby leans over and says, you might be speaking. So be ready to give a defense at all times. And speaking, this was at a pastor's fellowship in Monjolio. Speaking with an interpreter is a whole different realm. You got to kind of think. And sometimes you're not sure if what you said was what was said. Because sometimes you'll talk real fast and cover a whole bunch and you'll stop and you go, oh, wait a second, I got to give him time to translate. And he says three words. And sometimes you say three words and he goes on for 5 minutes. So you don't always, you know what's exactly going on. I will tell you, one time Pastor Ron asked me if I had ever heard anybody speak in tongues over there. How would I know? This is actually at Monjolio, the pastor's fellowship, the pastor there in front, and just, he was one of our students at ACSM, and he's a little bit of a jokester, but neat little church, and what? Yeah, this church, speaking of impacts, in 2006, it was the first time that Sue and I were kind of left in charge while Bobby and Nomi came to the States. And being left in charge then wasn't quite the same as it is now, because we had no idea what we were doing, and Bobby and Nomi are smart enough to know that. And so basically they had everybody lined up to do things, interns and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, we did some stuff, but it yeah. You got good staff. You don't have to worry about who's in charge. But I hadn't noticed, but Jezebel hadn't shown up to class for about 3 days. And then one of the kids came to me and said, well, you know, he's sick, and we've been kind of keeping him in bed. And I said, well, what's wrong? And I don't know, but he's had a temperature of about 103 for 105 for a couple of days. And I said, oh, well, we're going to the hospital. And they said, well, they can't afford this and whatnot. Well, we went.
We went to the hospital. He had a UTI is what he had, a urinary tract infection. And we had to go buy medicine. We had to go buy the tubing and everything to get the liquid going through him. He was in the hospital, I think, for 3 days.
Five.
All the medication, the doctor's bill, and the hospital bill was $55. But they didn't have it. His family did not have that. His dad's a pastor. They did not have that.
Oh. So he's been, and he, last year I preached Easter at his church. And they had introduced, earlier in the day, the person there, Dave, the one who emceed the opening, said something about their small but mighty pastor is able to do something. And I got up there, I said, well, I have to tell you that he may be small, but I can tell you of a time when he wasn't able. And Nomi, who was interpreting for me, looked at me and said, what? And I said, well, wasn't able for one occasion. And he's kind of looking concerned, everybody. I said, you know, he tried hard, but he just failed is what it came down to. And I said, you know, after he'd gotten well, he really tried to teach me Cebuano, but he failed miserably. So since then, I'm allergic to shellfish. He makes sure when we have a meal that a lot of shellfish is placed around me. Yeah. So anyway, I don't think a week went by when one of us at least wasn't speaking at one church service or another, whether it was in Dumaguete at Covenant Life Church, kind of the home church there. It's a little ways away from the house we stay in. It's at least 10 yards. Maybe, yeah, maybe it is today. Anyway, that's the home church and the particular occasion Sue was speaking. Here's one thing that I think really illustrates impact that this body has had. This is in the mighty metropolis of Sac-Sac. It's up in the mountains. This is kind of the community center. And in that little green, that's a stage, actually, right up there. Back in 2002, on our first trip to the Philippines, we did a crusade there. Now, it didn't look quite like that because we have bright sunshine there. It was flat pouring rain. And there was the people sat out there on the tarmac while we huddled underneath that little stage there. That was the start of some Bible studies. And after a couple of 3 years, whatever it was, they actually started a church up there. On this occasion, we were going up to the church for their anniversary, their Thanksgiving service. So the Community Bible Center of Sac-Sac is where this is. Now, at this, and you know, I spoke, and at their anniversary, everybody does something. The kids will come up and sing a song or have a dance. The ladies will sing. The men will come up and sing a special. And it's quite a celebration, and there's always a veritable feast afterwards. And while we're fellowshipping, I was talking with a fellow who used to be an associate pastor at Bias City, who was one of the first pastors at Sac-Sac and helped get the church started. And he pointed out something to me that you should hear. He says, your church has had a major impact here. He says, this church probably wouldn't have happened without that crusade. Now, our first trip, Ruth, you'll recall, the first day we were there, that night we all just died. But the next two nights, we did crusades up in the mountains of this place where you pull in and there is nothing except a mango orchard, a outdoor basketball court, and a stage. There was not a hut in sight. And we're all wondering, who's going to come? And about 200 people showed up. Well, there's a church going up there now that Marvell, the individual that was speaking me, is the pastor of now. And he says those things don't happen without efforts like you guys have made. You have honored us by sending us, but we've got to be sent. And so there's been major impact with that. Jack Moore, the fellow in green there, is the pastor of this church in Dumaguete, Jesus Village Fellowship. Jack Moore also teaches at ACSM. On this occasion, I was at his church, and I got to be part of a baby dedication. And that little fellow would not let go of my finger. He's going to be a milker, I think. He's got a grip, you know. Here's another aspect where you have a piece of the impact. This church is in Darwin. Darwin is just south of Dumaguete a little ways. This church has been in existence since March, started up by a young lady who is actually an intern this year. Just started her third year at ACSM. Just felt a call there, started going and meeting with children. And like I said, this church was established in March. I was at this church for actually a little crusade in May. I don't know. Can't remember exactly when. But at that point in time, they had 28 members. This is the church building. Now, I want to point out some things here. You can see kind of a pole going up there. There's another one going up over here. And then these pieces are just, these cross pieces, or what we might call rafters, are just pieces of bamboo with a tarp over them. And then you have this backdrop, which is basically like a sheet material. And you've got a couple of these bamboo benches and a half a dozen or so plastic chairs. And that's the church. They had, at this point in time, they had 28 members. The church was only less than 2 months old. She got a good deal of her inspiration and confidence because of Asian Christian School of Ministry. This church body sends monthly support to Bobby and Nomi, of which a significant portion goes to ACSM. We are impacting this body, you, what's happening over there. And we actually, Bobby and I looked at a piece of property that's about 75 yards, probably 100 yards from this, that's right on the National Highway, and we think we might be able to get it for a deal, and we'll build a building there. We arrived on Thursday. We arrived on Friday. The pastor, the annual pastors and church leaders conference started on Monday. And it's a big deal. A lot of folks there. On Saturday, Robert Johnson and three other folks from Oklahoma arrived. Robert has missed two of these conferences, once because he bought a plane ticket for the wrong week, and one time because he had a silly excuse of having a heart attack. Was actually declared dead. They let his wife go in to say her goodbyes, and he said, "Hi, dear," and she almost had a heart attack. Robert's been there the whole week, and then Sunday or Monday, a team from Texas came, and so there were a number of us that shared speaking responsibilities, and I'll tell you that you get stretched when you hear other people there and speaking and how they do things, and a couple of the Texas folks were really Pentecostal, extremely. This fellow here, next to Bobby, is Jesse. He actually works with that church in Texas, but he's from Ghana. Some of you may have heard him speak if you listened well, because he spoke very, very loudly. I'm sure it could have made it all the way over here. Some of you say, "I don't need a microphone." Well, Jesse doesn't either. And I would tell you that it's not unscriptural or that there's an issue with theology, but they do things different than we do. And it was interesting to experience that. And I'll leave it at that for now. But yeah. So anyway, speakers, several sessions throughout the day and evening. Now, one of the things that we don't do much here is have worship dances. Well, this is actually a little troop of six young ladies, part of the Covenant Life Church, that did this one evening, and I'm going to let you watch it a little bit. Go ahead, Gary. See if I can. The young lady who, I'm going to run through this a little bit. Look for a young lady, if we start, that will kind of be on the back side there and has her hair in kind of a bun. That's Jenny Carroll, Bobby and Nomi's daughter, and our goddaughter. Actually, Gary, go ahead and run that, and I'll stop it. Here she comes. Anyway, you can see her right there. Anyway, that's JK. She's grown a little bit. Another aspect was men's workshops where men were split up and from the women. I'll just say this was a hard conference for a lot of reasons, but for Bobby and especially Nomi. We had shared before we left that Mary was not doing well. Mary, or Nai-Nai, as she was called by so many, which means mommy. While Bobby and Nomi were here, she started having some issues. They got a hold of Nomi. They will take her into the hospital, and they diagnosed her as having a cyst on her uterus, right? And so they said, not a big deal, and schedule a little surgery for, I think, a couple of days after Easter. Bobby and Nomi got back, and the week before Easter, I believe, she was in such pain. So they took her in, and they said, oh, well, it's not exactly a cyst on the ovary, it's stage 3 cancer. And her kidneys started shutting down, so they transferred her over to Silliman University Hospital, where she could get some dialysis. And she, basically, they told Nomi, take her home because there's nothing really anybody can do, and she'll last maybe 3 days. She actually lasted eight days. Passed away the Wednesday of conference. Normally, Nomi would be playing a pretty big role in conference, which probably wouldn't include doing a lot of cooking because Mary did all of that. Mary taught countless students how to cook and oversaw that end of it. Typically, the house population, this isn't students, this is the house population. It's kind of a moving number. Sometimes there might be 10 or 12 people living in a house. More commonly, 20, and sometimes 30. It's kind of, what day is it? And Mary oversaw all of that. And she'd been with Bobby and Nomi since before JK was born. And so it was very difficult. The men's workshops, there were two-hour sessions. And basically, Bobby told us, the fellow in the blue shirt is Daniel. He was one of the ones from Oklahoma. Great guy. Sometime asked me about how he got the name of governor. But he basically, Bobby said, hey, you guys got it, the two-hour workshops. And normally, Nomi would play a major part in the women's workshops, but the lady in red right there kind of took the lead and did a great job. And one of the things they did that I thought was really special was they washed the feet of the ladies there and then prayed with each one. Was really, I heard just grand things. So Nomi is learning, still having to turn a lot of things over and figuring out how to do things. You know, typically we would get back from wherever we'd be going and there would be a meal on the table. And guess again. Oh, anyway. One of the other special things of the conference is, of course, there's a lot of Asian Christian School of Ministry alumni. And so the last day of the conference, during the day, they have a kind of a ACSM reunion. have a little program. I was honored to speak at that, and it's just a fun group. So they're going to sing a song, and so they get all the alumni up there to sing the song. That doesn't leave too many people out here. You've got, you know, 50 people up there to sing the song, and there were, you know, a good, what, 5 or 6 of us left out, but it was nice. And they sang a couple, and one of them is kind of a really upbeat, and they just had a ball. It was great to have that energy and to meet with so many of them again. And then that night is the Asian Christian School of Ministry graduation. Usually when I do this report, I get to tell you about just the great time of teaching classes and working with the students. This trip was a different trip. We got there after classes had ended. You know, their summer vacation starts into March, beginning of April. The first day of classes for the new term was the day we left to come home. So we didn't work with the ACA, but we knew so many of the kids because, except for the first year students, we had them in classes and had worked with them before. So still neat to be part of graduation. So graduation was on Thursday. Wednesday, Mary had died. Visitation at the mortuary happens almost immediately, and their tradition is that people will come and visit, and you have to have somebody there to do that and also provide food and drink for anybody that shows up to visit, and doesn't matter what hour of the day or night. After graduation, a number of people went. I think Kindness said they left the mortuary like 1 or 2 in the morning. Friday, Mary's casket was moved to the church there in, on campus, and we had the service on Friday. A lot of confusion, you know, happening because of all the different things happening. A lot of times people assume somebody else said something or did something, and sometimes things fall through the cracks. Like, for instance, telling the person who will deliver the message at the funeral, letting him know that he will be delivering the message at the service. So that on Thursday night, well after graduation, in fact, I was heading upstairs to our room, Eric came and says, Papa Bill, I just wanted, you know, to know if there's anything you need for tomorrow. What do I need for tomorrow? Well, you're doing, you know, the message. And okay. I was very honored to do that. And, you know, we had wondered about this. Normally, we go quite a bit earlier, and so we're there with the students and teach classes and whatnot. But with John Ray getting married, and he wanted us there, this sort of put things back. And on Saturday after, or actually Sunday after the service Saturday, Nomi commented to me that she says, you know, I wondered about having you guys come at this time of year for the, you know, not being able to do some of the things you normally do. But when you were speaking up there, I knew why God had you come when you did.
Okay, now, wait a minute. My turn. I need to tell you guys that in the midst of all the agony of losing Mary and having her in such horrible pain, and there's no morphine, so there's no painkillers, through the whole thing, God did some miracles. Because Mary's story is that as a young woman, she went to Cebu and found a job working for a young man, fell in love with him, got pregnant, and he sent her away. He wouldn't marry her. And so she's raised her son by herself all this time, which there is a, it makes a difference. Boys, the girls don't seem to be affected as much,
stigma,
but the boys are called a specific name. They're called JR, and that means child without a father. And they grow up, and so everybody knows. But anyway, she did a really good job raising her son. But towards when she was diagnosed as dying, Nomi contacted the father. And I think JR had, the boy had gotten to know him some. But anyway, he went to his wife and daughters and said, I need to go and ask forgiveness. Is it okay with you? And they agreed. He came. He talked to Mary. He asked for forgiveness, which she gave him. And the young and the daughters then came to her service as support for their big brother that they've, you know, really haven't known very well. But there was a lot of healing. Her siblings came, and some of the same things happened there. God can take the awful things and make good things come out of it. It was neat to see.
One thing, just again, a cultural thing, looking here at the casket and what things look like. Their funerals are basically like ours, except afterwards it's more like one of their wedding. Because all the different groups, the family, the friends, the students, or missionary, who have to come up and have their picture by the casket. It's different, but okay. Vacation Bible School. We got to be involved with Vacation Bible School. Start the children on the path they need to be, and they won't turn from it when they get older. So that's what we were doing. It was very similar to a lot of Vacation Bible Schools we've seen here. You had an opening. They did the Christian pledge, the Bible pledge, the... I got to live it long as I want. I got the mic. And they had classes, and they had some fun, and crafts. Sue was sort of in charge of crafts. It was a little bit of a challenge because developing the curriculum, a lady who has spent a lot of time there and still, you know, trying to help sent the curriculum over. She's in Missouri. It didn't really fit what we could do. So things had to change, and Sue had to do a lot of adapting with the crafts. Again, they had a little dance thing. That was kind of cool. Eric actually taught both groups. They broke them into two, their older and younger kids, a different dance thing. And they practiced it every day. That was part of it. None of the games they had suggested would really work for the time frame we had. And so I kind of had to come up with the games. And graduate, they do 5 days, and then Saturday they have their graduation. And the whole theme was armor of, being part of the army of God. And so the Ephesians passage and the whole armor of God bit, that was the crafts. They made them. And so that's what they look like on Saturday at their graduation. It was all quite fun. And, it was hot. Oh, that was the old thing. Exceptionally hot. We'll follow that up with Confluence. You've heard us talk about it and know that we support that, especially getting the KCM kids there. Confluence is, you know, Jerwell had said we'll have 500 there maybe this year. Well, he was way off. It was about 300, I guess. But what a day, or what a week, I should say. The energy, the devotion, the worship time, and they had great worship time. And they had great speakers, obviously. And actually, there was a team that was supposed to be there to help, and then one of them had... illness in the family, and another one that would have led it had fallen down and broken his wrist. And so I think I spoke four times at that call. But it actually, because we could follow the theme. But those kids, these are not just, okay, we're going to evangelize. These are kids that are coming to learn to be an influence in the church and family. So they had a preaching contest. They had both extemporaneous and prepared preaching. They had singing contests. And they broke them up into 8 groups. And they were all mixed. It wasn't that you were necessarily with the people in your church. And so one of the things, one of the first things they did was to pick a leader. The kids did that. And then they had to develop a dance, a group dance that their group would do whenever this song came on. And so that was a way to gather the kids together. It was kind of cool. But they, boy, they would hustle to get to where they were supposed to be whenever they heard that. Gary, go ahead and play this. This is one of those times when the music had played. That's 2 groups there. There's another group there. Another group there. There's other ones you can't see. That's the next song. And then they had to, at night, one night there was a dance contest. Each group had to go up and do their dance in front of everybody. What energy. It was just incredible to be part of that. And that idea of a way to bring people, to get them gathered together. There was a point in time when they'd already done this and they were starting to break up a little bit. And they had a little bit of time before the next session. And Jerwell turned the music on. And this one kid, I mean, everybody's getting there. This one kid got there late. He's just running. He's got shorts on. He is soaked. There's soap in his hair, and he's got a towel around his neck. But he got in his spot so he could dance. You know, it was pretty impressive. The last day, they have kind of a takeoff of the Great American Race, and each group had different things to do. It was really cool. This one, they get up there, and the idea is that you fall back onto the arms of your group. And yeah, they did. And there were no injuries. The group did well. A number of different activities to build leadership skills, team building skills. And then trying to get everybody together. We saw a lot of miracles. This wasn't one of them. We couldn't get people together. So we've got, these are some of the KCM kids that this body supported to be there. This was another time when we thought we'd get all the KCM kids. We didn't, but there's some in here that aren't KCM kids.
Anytime you pull out a camera, people come running.
Yeah, yep, yep. So, but know that your support got our KCM kids that were old enough to go to here today so they can continue gaining skill. Back up to this for just a moment. I want to give a little bit of a shout out to Eric, to Marissa, to Reg. Those are the folks that have been leading the 3 KCM sites and doing a marvelous job. Now, Reg is on staff at ACSM, she's a graduate. She's had some issues, or well, her mother's had some issues. She's had to be gone. She's missed some of the KCM thing. Just to show you again your impact, Jamaica is a KCM gal up at McKenna, has been. She was knee-high to a short grasshopper. She does the teaching now when Reg can't be there. She takes over the leadership role. So we're raising up kids in the KCM. And it was kind of when she arrived and registered, she saw me and ran over and gave me a hug, and I didn't even know she would recognize. Of course, I do look different than a lot of the folks there.
Because we're friends on Facebook.
Sack sent some kids down, but they really didn't have the money to register nor to buy the T-shirts, and that was put out, and this body took care of that. So thank you for that, too. Again, Sac's a very poor area. And the last night of Confluence was what they called the Youth Jam. And Jerwell told me, oh, there'll be somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people there. And I'm thinking, yeah, and there were going to be 500 at the Confluence, too, you know. I don't know. We had an official count, but it was probably close to 1,500. This is at the park in downtown Dumaguete that's right in front of the provincial capital, like the state capital, which is a little different than ours. They have a sign on that lights up at night that's there all year round that says, "In God We Trust." A little bit different than our state capital. But it had all these kids, and one of the things that was really neat is they had five bands that were interspersed with speakers, and one of the bands played that song that you heard the kids dancing to. And so you had these little islands of kids that were doing their dance. They had four speakers, I guess. Five, I think. Bobby and Kindness, me, and Jade. Maybe Jerwell. Anyway, so that was quite a deal. And it went from like 7 to 1 or 2 in the morning. And we left a little after 10, and people were still showing up. And when should they get here? Kids Care Mission, just some updates. This is at the Bias City, what we used to say San Jose. It's kind of geographically moved a little ways. But this place had about 40 kids, a little better than that. And they, the same kind of setup. You know, we're going to give Bible lessons. We're going to play some games. We're going to feed you. And the pink house back there, this is one thing I thought was kind of neat. You can kind of see some legs sticking out there. While the kids are out here with the having their time, inside the house are the parents having a Bible study. Kind of a neat deal. This little girl, well, I won't take time to tell the whole story, but actually is a student or a child of a former student. Dungawan, Greg, you remember going up and looking at the ground they wanted to build? Well, they've sort of built. They've got a cover. This is where they meet now, which is much better than the little porch that they were meeting on. And this was a day. Here, language is important. And this was the Saturday, second day we were there. And so I went up with them to this, and Eric says, well, say, you know, some words of encouragement. So I want to tell them about the power they had. And so I said, what's the Swabuano for power? And it's go home. Okay. You have to be careful how you pronounce things. Sounded like I said, go home. So wait a minute. No, that would... Oh, anyway, we still monthly have a food distribution where all the kids come there to the church in Bias City. This isn't a lot of food, but it helps. Typically 1.5 to 2 kilos, that's what's in that yellow bag of rice to go home for the family. Sometimes we can add in a few bags of like top ramen type of noodles, and we can also sometimes there's some extra we can throw in a couple cans of sardines. But the food distribution happens, and it's very well appreciated. Again, we are the primary sponsors of KCM. School supplies. Well, you don't just can't just walk into Target and buy school supplies. It requires a road and boat trip to Cebu. And then we get to some places where Nomi knows the price is good and we can purchase some or get most of the school supplies and also go to another store to where we can get cheaper t-shirts for the kids and have them printed up for the Confluence. Then once you have the supplies, you have to organize them, and that requires some folks to pitch in. And then you have to load them up and get them to buy a city and get them distributed to the kids. Now, education in the Philippines is free, sort of. The supplies aren't. And it's not compulsory either. And so many of these kids would not go to school were it not for your support. And then the gal whose head is over Sue's there, she's our poster child, Ivy. Now, when we first saw her in 2002, about that tall, and now a college graduate and teacher. And she told me, says, Paul, I really want to do is just save money so that I can go up to McKinney and do something special for the kids because I know how hard it is. Oh, we're pretty proud of her. The Davao trip, and I'm going to go quickly here because my wife believes the clock. It's fast, incidentally. Okay. Davao. Well, back here, coming back to this passage, and I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. The Malayan, is that how you say it? Tribe? Malayan. Anyway, tribe of people. We flew into Davao and then drove for 3.5 hours or so up into the mountains. And if you recall, in the early 90s, National Geographic had a big article in it that talked about they found the missing link. Well, it turned out to be false, but that's where we were, in the middle of nowhere. Actually, not. We weren't at the end of the earth, but I think if there hadn't been trees, we probably could have seen it. Long way. Mountaintop Christian Outreach. And this fellow that I've communicated with a lot, I've never met, named Bill Cope, from a farmer from Oklahoma. He has had a real passion for this place. He's put a lot of time, effort, and resources in. And so here's the church. It's not finished, but it's certainly usable. Also a nice little house that we were able to stay in. The other thing he's done is, well, and we had... We were there for their church Thanksgiving, and that's Nomi speaking there. I got to speak the next day at their church service. He has got things with the help of the fellow who's now pastoring the church and his wife, who has, God just moved her up there. He really, we've got cacaos planted. We've got rubber trees planted. There's a piggery at so the pastor can earn a living. There are all kinds of things that he's done to make this so it's a sustainable place. And what's really cool about that is this is an area where the NPA, the New People's Army, the communist rebels are a stronghold. And this has been an area where they've recruited a lot of kids, not much older than you, 12, 14-year-olds, to be part of this rebel uprising. And their primary way to motivate people to join them is because look how poor you are, and that's the government's fault, and you have no future here. Well, all of a sudden, you can say, well, gee, I can farm and make a living here now. I can get food here now because of these efforts. And I've actually come to know more about Jesus and come to accept him and be part of that. So I can either stay here with this or I can go with you and get shot at. So it's had quite an impact in that manner, too. We left here to go to Katil. And I would have, this was another youth conference, and I would have really liked to have spent more time there. I was pretty sick during this time. And this was a church where it was held. Our hotel was about a block away. And again, this is an area, and this is more of a town, but it is an area where the NPA is pretty strong. And especially in the evenings, we were not allowed to walk back to the hotel. They'd give us a ride in pedicab. A little different. But again, grand people, and we hadn't had time for a little monkeying around. That was at the hotel. Just some miscellaneous ministries that happened on the church. This was one of the harder things. A year ago, May, an ISIS-backed group took over a major city on Mindanao. And, of course, the government responded with army. Her son was a classmate of Jerwell's in high school, really good friend of Jerwell's, and he was one of the first soldiers killed in that battle. Year later, she's still having a very tough time. Incidentally, that house looks pretty nice. It is, but it hasn't always been. It basically was a NEPA hut before, but the payout and insurance from the government basically built them her house. She would be happier in the NEPA hut with her son alive. She's had a really tough go, and we visited with her a couple of times. You never know how God might be using you. Birthday parties are a big deal there, and you end up having almost a church service. This was, again, up in Sac-Sac, a little young lady's birthday, and Sue giving some words of encouragement there. See, to the lady sitting down, it was her birthday. She's one of the leadership in Dumaguete. And again, Sue got to give some words of encouragement there.
She's the same age I am. That was cool.
Old. Oh. Good Mother's Day celebration. The bride and groom here, former students, were really close to Joy. She was an intern last year and worked with her real close. But Renate also is a graduate.
And I missed it because of my knee.
Yeah, she missed the wedding. Young man who was a student the first year we went, named Jade, who's very proud of himself because in his immediate family he's the tallest one. He's 4'11". Quite a story. At one time was a drug runner and ended up now basically working with a church group that works with deaf kids, and that's his job. But he and his wife every Saturday morning have a group much very similar to KCM, and we went there. In fact, the last Saturday we were there and got to be there with the gathering. He's got quite a bunch of kids, same thing, music, games, Bible lessons, and a meal. And he built this cover here, this shelter, just specifically for this. And it didn't start that way. And he says they had the shelter up for a while, and they had just a terrible monsoon. Well, some of these kids have to walk quiet. He says, nobody's going to come. So the family got in the vehicle, and they went into town. When they came back, all these kids were there. And he said, what do you do? And he says, well, we have a shelter now, Pastor Jade. So he dumped his family. Cheryl, his wife, started getting them organized. He went back to town to the bakery to get food. Oh, quite a ministry going there. Prayer. I can't tell you how important this is. And we were asked to pray several times for different individuals. It's recognized what prayer does wonderful. And so with that, I want to share with you some prayer requests. And so you want me to do it? So we got some pray for these.
First one would be Jade. He's our oldest son. First one we adopted, so to speak. He calls us mom and dad, and Emily is his little sister, and he always has to check on her when we come. This is Michael. We went several years ago for his wedding to Sandy. They now have two children, Chanel, that Grandpa has a hold of, and I'm holding Sean Michael. Michael started a business doing printing, and it's done really well, but they're kind of in a tight spot right now because they expanded in order to cover, be able to do what they needed to do during the elections, because people want tarps and banners and all kinds of printing done during elections.
Elections were in May.
Yeah, now that the elections are over, their amount of work has dropped a little bit, but they bought some new equipment in order to do what they needed to do, and they still have to pay for it. So he said, pray for us that we'll get enough business coming in that we can make the payments on the equipment and keep ahead. They're doing really well, but it's tight at the moment. So pray for them. Who we got up there?
Raj and Alzon on the left.
The ones on the left-hand side are both doing pioneering works, yes?
Both well, boys. And Alzon is also in school.
Yeah, and Alzon's also in school. He went up to help. They sent Kenneth to school at the agricultural school to help with the school farm, and Alzon then went to help him. Now, Alzon's studying also, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Kenneth has finished and is now working to take his test. Both of them are working on new churches and need prayer for that. On the right are the couple that got married, Joy and Renante, and of course, any new marriage, new family, they need prayer. Okay, Bill.
Oops. Sorry. Move.
You got excited there. The one on your left is Ging Ging, or Mary Jane. She was a student one of the first years we went, if not the first year. And she's now in school and college trying to get her degree to become a teacher. Last year, we were sent with money, and we put some of that aside for her to spend for her projects. Their education system is a little different, and they end up producing projects for their classes. And when you're doing a teaching one, it's expensive, and she had a whole bunch of classes last year that required projects. So we left her money. We were able to leave her a little bit more this year. But anyway, it was money from you guys. So that's what's helping her go to school. On the right is Kenneth, who just finished his agriculture degree and is studying for his license.
Actually, he's taking about in the middle of a three-day, full-day written testing for his licensing.
So anyway, he needs to pass that, so you can pray for him.
Might just mention with Ging, too, that she's got two little kids and a husband and trying to do all of that while...
Yeah. Her mother lives with them also, which helps, yeah. Sort of. On the left in this one is Alice and Healy, who are the pastors at Mountaintop. Since we were there, Alice has been experiencing some pain, ended up in the hospital, has also been diagnosed as a cyst on her uterus, which makes us a little uneasy since what happened to Mary. But anyway, you can pray for her. She was a teacher and felt God calling her to this group up on the mountain and has ended up giving up her teaching job and going into ministry full time. Really, her husband had a church in the town, and they became jealous of the money that Bill Cope was sending for Mountaintop. And so he's ended up, now he's at Mountaintop. He's left the other church. They kind of kicked him out. So anyway, they need prayer. They also have a daughter who's working in, I believe it's Kuwait, maybe Dubai. I don't remember. Anyway, the oldest one. Then they have a son who's in his 20s that's helping them with the church, and a 13-year-old, right, whose name is Brilliant. But they call him Bim. Interesting name. The one on the other side is Brenda. She's the pastora at the church in Catiel. She and her husband would like to change denominations, which Healy and Alice have done, into the independent assemblies with Bobby. But the old denomination owns the land that the church is built on, and so there isn't a way for them to change. And there's some there's another church with the same denomination in town, and there's some hassles between them, even though she grew up in the other one. And so she's in a tight spot, and they just need our prayer that God will guide them as to what they need to do. Okay. On the left side is Madeline, Manny. She is our daughter. She's in school. She is kind of got herself into a bind in a way. We send her money every month, and she's agreed to give some of it to Bobby and Nomi to pay for her room and board, which is appropriate, but it really doesn't leave her enough. And so pray for her and pray for us that we know when to bail her out and when not to, because I want God to be the one who does what she needs. On the other side is Nomi, who has suddenly reacquired all these responsibilities that Mary had taken from her over the years. She's getting up early in the morning and fixing breakfast and lunch for Jenny and JX before they leave for school. And not to mention the fact that she's dealing with the emotions of having lost a really close friend. One day we came home and she walked in the house, and she told me about this afterwards. She said, I walked in the house expecting Mary to be there and the food to be on the table. And she said, it hit me all over again. She's not there. And we ended up going out to eat is what we did. But yeah, it's taking a long time for her, I think, to process even the fact that of the loss. And I see her just really being burdened with all the responsibilities that have now come back onto her that she used to do and then has gotten away from, and now they're back. So pray for her. On the left is RJ or JR or Ricardo Jr.,
or
Mary's
just
son.
R.
Or what?
Just R.
Just R, yeah. What is it? Ricardo Rano Verde?
Yeah.
Which means Ricky Green Frog, which he got from a stuffed animal or something. I don't remember. I remember we were there, but I don't remember what happened. Anyway, he is a super duper neat kid, young man. He's in his 30s, the early 30s. But he's really hurting. He's really hurting, and it's really hard for him to come back to the house. He works as a driver. He's trained as a driver, has his license, and has passed. I mean, it's like a 2-year class. And he drives for several businesses in town. So he's away a lot. And I think as long as he's away, he's okay. But when he comes back and mom's not there, it's really hard on him. Anyway, Nomi's pushing him to get married, and he has 12 million girlfriends. You know, I always see him on Facebook with other girls, always. He just has a lot of friends. So pray that God will show him who's supposed to be his wife, and that Nomi won't push him too hard, and that, you know, just for comfort as he grieves the loss of his mom. On the other side is Bobby, who has oodles of responsibilities, is concerned about his wife and the things that now have piled up on her, has not been able to find someone to train to take over. And Bobby will be 60.
What is today?
What?
What's today?
June 24th.
Okay. July 12th. You know, he'll be 60. Which is cool, because there you qualify for senior citizen stuff, and there's some cool stuff. But he's getting tired. He won't admit it, but you can tell looking at him. He's getting tired. And so just pray that God will raise up somebody that'll have the energy. And they have to be really smart, because he's really smart, and he has a hard time understanding that others don't learn as quickly as he does. So we had some discussions about gate kids and normal kids and special ed kids. I don't know if it helped, but anyway, he just needs prayer, because he's got so much responsibility and he needs to be able to begin shifting some of it off. Oh, there's my girls. On the left is Jenny Carroll. She was not a happy 16-year-old. That's a good smile. That was when we were out for coffee and desserts, and she really likes desserts, so she was a happy kid. But it was a tough summer for her, a tough summer. I think she's doing better now. She's back in school, I hope. I just am concerned about her because she walked around like a sad kid all summer long. And part of it was there was no summer vacation. There was too much going on. There was no time for fun. On the other side is kindness. She was here. She was here, and she misses being here. She was here in the States for 2 years and is having a hard time reacclimating back to life in the Philippines. The group of girls that she had that were handling her ministry while she was here quit as soon as she got back. So she's having to raise up some new ones. She's taking master's degree courses, which are on the weekends for people that work during the week. They do them on the weekends because you can't really get a teaching job without a master's degree over there. Teachers are held in high esteem, and it's hard to get teaching jobs. So she's completed her regular studies and college classes and is now working to get a master's degree. So she does that on the weekends. That's in Dumaguete. She's teaching at the college. I think on Thursdays are her classes. And she tries to go home, which is a four-hour trip each direction. Well, more than that, actually. At least every other week, if she can. And it's taken a toll on her. So anyway, keep her in your prayers, too. And she says hello. That video that you guys watched last week, she recorded the last night we were there. We talked for quite a while. I think it was good for her to have somebody that she could express herself in English. I don't know. She knows we love her. That's probably part of it. And then you guys prayed us out, and guess what? They prayed us back. That was pretty cool. And we appreciated it. Both directions.
Yeah.
Because that trip, we need all the prayer we can get.
Yeah. The end. Again, we're in your debt. We thank you that you support us. What?
Tell me about Aliwangwang. That's the name of that falls.
Oh.
It's like 55 layers. And you can't see it all from there. That was when Bill was really sick, going between Moncayo and Catiel. We stopped there for just a little while. Anyway, it's beautiful.
One of the things that just drives home to me when we go there, and we've had the same experience here, is that Christ binds us together. And it doesn't matter if you haven't met somebody before, we're one in the Spirit. Jesus is that bind. And so, again, we want to thank you for allowing us to be the ambassadors from here. But you are making an impact there. Dave? Okay. We were going to end with a song, but Sue went a little long. So we're not. But I want to end with this prayer. But I'm going to tell you the song we were going to sing is that they'll know we are Christians by our love. And certainly your prayers, your generosity, our illustrations are representative of that love. It is making an impact. Thank you for it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God. We thank you that you bind us together in love. We thank you, Father, that you use us as your hands and feet to do your will. And Father, it's such a privilege to be able to do that, whether it's actually going or whether it's praying. And Father, we ask you that you would continue to use us. Again, thank you for this body. Thank you for the way they've supported us and so many around the world. And to your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a grand day.